This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Does Mars have what it takes to support life, past and present? This is the question at the heart of research on the Red Planet. And last week came news of a possible lake that could have existed for millions of years on the Martian surface. Water hanging around for that long could certainly increase the chance for life. And now this week, some tantalizing new clues that could be linked to life. NASA scientists announced two more findings. One, a spike in the amount of methane on Mars, and second, the first evidence of organic materials in Martian rock. Is there life on Mars producing methane? Did the organics come from life processes? Or is Mars just teasing us again? Joining us is NASA Curiosity rover chief scientist John Gratzinger. He joins us from Caltech in Pasadena, California. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks very much, Ira, for having me.
Tell us about the Curiosity detecting methane. What happened there?
Well, basically, we monitor the atmosphere. The rover drives along, and every once in a while, we sniff the atmosphere and see what the composition is. And we did that for about the better part of a year after we landed, and we didn't see anything. We even wrote a paper that said we didn't see anything. And then we kept monitoring, and then around Thanksgiving last year, suddenly we noticed that there was an increase in the amount of methane that we were detecting, and it was above the threshold of what the instrument can do. And then we did that for the better part of a month, and it didn't go away. And then probably about 6 weeks later after we first noticed it, it did go away. So it seems like there was a spike that came and went.
But you actually saw it present for a whole month.
Yeah, we measured it about five times in different ways, measured it during the day, measured it during the night, and in both those cases it was still there.
And what's the best guess of where it came from? How could it have gotten there?
Well, there's really two major options here. One is an inorganic process that happens on Earth as well. And that's where you take a kind of a rock called basalt, and if you get it real hot in the presence of water, it will create a mineral called serpentine, otherwise known as soapstone to most of us. And when it does that, it actually releases gas of methane. And so that's one possibility, and we can't rule that out. And the other possibility is that there could be microorganisms beneath the surface of Mars that are making gas. These are organisms called methanogens. They also exist on Earth. And they produce methane gas. And so the way we go about it scientifically is that in order to conclude that it was life, we have to first falsify the hypothesis that was inorganic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, why would it, in either one of these cases, why would you have this big spike for a month and then it goes away?
Well, that's really what we're trying to get our hands around right now, regardless of what the source is, and we don't know. That's the short answer. Our guess is that somehow the gas builds up in the subsurface, and then there's a process that allows it to sort of burp. And so it builds up, maybe gets to a certain pressure, and then after that it is able to escape. And the leaking stops, and then the reservoir builds up again. Now, if that's what's happening, if we keep monitoring, we'll hope to see it again.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the rock samples. How did Curiosity find organics in the rock samples there?
Well, we have another instrument on the rover, and it begins with us getting a drill out. Got to sort of imagine the kind of thing you might buy at Home Depot that can drill holes in concrete, and you snap it that extra step, and now it can do percussion as well as rotary. And we sort of jackhammer our way into the rock, collect a powder. It goes into the instruments, and then we take the powder, and we heat it up. And when we heat it up, it evolves gases, and then we collect those gases and analyze them with an instrument called a mass spectrometer. And so we did it first to a soil sample, like a little small sand dune, and didn't see anything interesting. And then we drilled our first rock, and we didn't see anything interesting. And then we bumped over a short ways away, about 2 meters away, drilled a second hole, and there we found the organic compounds that are in there.
And this is significant. I mean, I understand that you're more excited, even though the press has picked up a lot on the methane, you're more excited about the rock.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us as a team, the methane observation is the kind of thing that you make on a routine basis. And if it comes, it's there. If it goes, it's gone. And then you have the mystery about how to figure out where it comes and goes from. With the rock, we can get a little more involved in the question of why is it being preserved there, and that's important. So it's a result that's very hard won. You do have to make a geological map, and then much the way an oil company would do exploration for oil and gas, we're doing the same thing. We have a hypothesis about where the organics might be. We drill a hole, we see what we get. But this then, if we find something, it takes us back to billions of years ago on Mars, 3.8 billion years ago, before the time when we have a rock record on Earth for which there is life. So if we find evidence for something on Mars that is even an abiologically made organic material, it not only tells us about Mars, it also tells us about ourselves.
Hmm. And so you're actually able to go back further in time with the rocks on Mars than you would with the rocks on the Earth, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. And it's because Mars is a planet that never really had plate tectonics. And so on Earth, all the churning due to plate tectonics recycles rocks. And so most of the old stuff has been consumed. But on Mars, the average age of the rock that we see is actually much older than what we see on Earth.
And so are you hypothesizing then that the organics, which mean carbon-containing, could have come from ancient bacterial life or some kind of life on Mars a long time ago?
That is indeed one possibility. Again, it's a little bit like the methane. We have other ways that complex organic compounds, even things like amino acids, could be made abiotically. And there's a class of meteorites. They're called the carbonaceous chondrites. And they fall to Earth, and they bring organics from outer space. And it could have been the same thing on Mars. But the important thing for us is the fact that if we see any organic molecule, even an abiotically formed one, in a rock that is 3.8 billion years old, it means that very special conditions were there that allowed the preservation of that organic molecule. And it gives us a search strategy to go back and look for real biological materials.
What kind of special conditions do you mean by that?
Well, it's sort of a game of what we call oxidation, and the organic molecules are reduced molecules, and they compete with the presence of oxidizing compounds, even things like free oxygen that can tear them apart. So, you can think of the oxidation process like a vacuum cleaner. And atoms are held together by a glue of electrons, and these oxidizing vacuum cleaners suck those electrons away from the reduced molecules, and then they fall apart, they break up, and they're destroyed. So if you can find a place where you limit those oxidants, like you want to keep oxygen out of a nice bottle of wine, then the organics may be preserved, and that's what we're hunting for.
So where do you go from here with with both the organics and with the methane? Do you still continue to look for methane? Because I remember we did a program in, 2009, where there were observations from Earth of methane, and people were poo-pooing it because, look, you're going through methane atmosphere of Earth and could be contaminated statistics there. Is this anything better than that?
You know, it is. It's the most accurate measurement that we've had of methane to date. But what it does is, in retrospect, it takes that observation where, you know, the methane was there, observed from Earth, and then it went away. And scientists are skeptical by nature. And so a lot of us thought, well, it doesn't really make any sense. How does it go away? Well, here, you know, we have now seen the same thing happen with a more accurate measurement over a shorter period of time, as it is. But, you know, that's what you see, and now the head-scratching begins to figure out how to explain it.
Hmm. Where would it go if it was there, if it really were there?
Well, it comes back to this business of oxidation again. So methane is a reduced molecule, and everybody knows that Mars is red, and that means the planet's oxidizing. It's red because the iron on the planet has been oxidized.
It's rusting.
It's rusted. And the atmosphere also has some oxygen in it. It's not much, but if the methane leaks out, it will combine with the methane, and it can be destroyed very quickly. So that's one way to potentially consume it.
Do you have any other measurements from Curiosity that have yet to be analyzed for methane that might show you another burp?
No, we don't have any new data, but what we're going to do now, the rover will drive along. We're exploring this mountain for the ancient rock record and to try to see if there's organics there. And as we drive along, we just monitor the atmosphere, because the atmosphere, it's like the wind on Earth. You know, it blows around, and it's well mixed. And so if there is another burp of methane, just by monitoring the atmosphere on a regular basis, say once a month, maybe we'll consider a couple of weeks. But we do it that way, and we'll see if we find something again.
You know, we know that methane here on Earth is a greenhouse gas. Is there enough on Mars to have to heat it up?
The short answer is no. Methane in the atmosphere of Mars is a very trace quantity, and this is the whole game right now, is to detect any at all. So it would not be a significant greenhouse gas today.
So what's next for Curiosity?
Well, what we're doing now is we're in a place called the Pahrump Hills, and we're going to drill a bunch more holes there and sample the rocks and see if we can't find any organic compounds. And then if not, we're going to continue to drive up the mountain to find a new layer that might be different from what we're in now, and then we'll try drilling there. And we basically think of it as a hiking trip up through the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And right now we're at the bottom, and we're going to work our way up layer by layer to the top.
Thank you very much, Dr. Grotzinger. I wish you, may your drill bit stay sharp as you go up that mountain.
We hope so, too.
Yeah. Happy holiday to you.
Thanks very much.
John Grotzinger is a NASA Curiosity rover chief scientist.